Yeah.
Hey, James. Thank you a ton for Zooming with me.
Thanks, Nick. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Maybe just quickly starting with like our background. So I know you a lot more than probably a lot of the people I'll be talking to in this series. So we were housemates for like over a year, which was fun. And you have been somewhat involved in the EA community, whereas some of the people I'll be talking to probably like more coming as external critiques from outside of the movement. This is, yeah, I would say a more internal critique. So yeah, before we get into the post of yours that we'll be talking about, do you want to talk about your history with EA and your current involvement in the movement?
Sure. So I found out about EA through, I think, two different sources. So one was through GiveWell, the charity recommendation evaluation website. And the other was through some friends that I had in the sort of rationalist, less wrong community. And both of these were back in, I think, around 2013. That was when there was a sort of a nascent community forming in Melbourne, which is where I live and where I was living at the time. And people were just chatting about these ideas and I became more and more interested. And there was a group that sort of formed to hold regular meetups and discussions around 2014. And so I was involved in that. And then when the early group leaders moved overseas to greener pastures, as it were, to do EA work, I put my hand up to take over the group there. And I also was asked by a representative of the Center for Effective Altruism to, if I was interested in helping to run a conference in Melbourne as part of EA Global. And naively, I said, yeah, sure. How difficult could that be? And that was a very interesting experience, never having organized a conference before. But that was really rewarding because that was the first EA conference in Australia back in 2015. And since then, I've had pretty regular involvement with EA. I've been involved in the groups in Melbourne and also in Canberra when I was living there, and been involved in organizing a number of conferences, and also helped out with the organization of the sort of Australia-wide movement and coordination to some extent, which has been a long process. And also I've tried to put forward some of my opinions about different EA topics on the forum and provide a maybe somewhat of a different perspective. And I think that's maybe some of what we'll be talking about today.
Yeah, that thing you mentioned about EA or people in the Australian community moving to either the US or the UK to work there, is that kind of brain drain. A very common complaint in the Australian EA community. So as you said, you've written a lot of critiques of EA ideas, many to do with AI and artificial intelligence. You have this really cool five-part critique of superintelligence. I may get you back on to discuss the AI topic more broadly, but I think just for time, we're just talking about one post that you've written, which is a response to another post by Helen Toner. So do you want to maybe first give a summary of the post you're replying to, and then my next question will be, and then give a summary of like what your reply to her post is?
Sure. So the post that I was responding to was called "Effective Altruism is a Question, Not an Ideology," and it's fairly highly upvoted post and on the EA forum.
And also quite early, just so people know the time, it was in 2014 that her post, and then your post was in 2019.
I was responding to this some years later. So I'd known about the post for quite a while, and it's been something I've been thinking about. And but in the original post, Helen, who I was from Melbourne actually, so I know her personally, but that's parenthetical, but she makes the argument that EA, effective altruism, is not an ideology that makes particular claims or has a certain set of beliefs. She says rather that effective altruism is a question, which is, how can I do the most good with the resources available to me? She argues that we should be very cautious about presenting EA as an ideology or like an ism or an ist, and making it out that we have a particular set of doctrines or something that people need to accept or should accept. And instead, we should just focus on pursuing. We ask this question and then we try to work out ways of approaching it, but that there's no particular approach that's sort of requisite for someone to adopt in order to call themselves an EA. And EA doesn't make any sort of essential or intrinsic assumptions about approaching this question.
Yeah, I really like this post. It's, yeah, one of my favorite posts to link people who are new, which means it's even more awesome that people are critiquing it. So what's the overview or summary of your post critiquing her post?
Yeah, so my post is provocatively titled "Effective Altruism is an Ideology, Not Just a Question." So it couched as a direct response to this post, which it is. And essentially, thinking about this more, I came to the conclusion that essentially Helen was wrong about this, in the sense that effective altruism really is an ideology and it isn't just a question. And what I do is I attempt to explain in my post what I think an ideology is, and then show how I think effective altruism meets the criteria for counting as an ideology, and how we as effective altruists do a lot more than just ask a broad question and attempt to answer that, that we really do have a particular way of looking at things and a particular set of claims that are broadly accepted within the movement. So outlining that is essentially the point of the post. And I should also clarify, which I think I try to do in the post, but is maybe not always clear, that ideology is a loaded word, and I think it has largely negative connotations, at least these days. I don't know that it always did. But I don't think it's a bad thing to say that effective altruism is an ideology. By ideology, I really just mean maybe we can talk a bit more about that, but it's effectively a kind of a constellation of beliefs and perspectives, a way of looking at the world, and a sort of a set of general beliefs that a group of people have in the way that they see things and the way that they think the world should be. I don't think that there's anything wrong with something being an ideology. I just think that we should be cognizant and honest about the fact that EA is that, and that we do have a particular perspective that we are trying to convince other people of. We're not simply just asking a question, in my view.
So do you think that the definition of ideology you use might be, like, do we think to some extent that the disagreement between you and Helen here is an argument over definitions? Do you think if we tabooed the word ideology and used two different words, that if you gave your definition of ideology and Helen uses her definition and we looked at them, that like you two would actually agree, and it's more just whether or not, yeah, what the correct definition of ideology is?
No, I don't really think so. I don't think that the word ideology is really doing a lot of work here. It's just a label that we're using to describe things. And I'm not exactly sure how Helen would define ideology, but I don't think that's the core of the disagreement. Because the reason I say that is because Helen makes a number of other claims in her post, which I think I would expressly disagree with, and I think I do disagree with in my post. For example, she mentions a number of other movements or positions that are ideologies, like feminism, secularism, libertarianism, for example. And she says that the proponents of these movements or ideologies provide certain answers to particular questions. And then she says effective altruism isn't like this. She says effective altruism doesn't provide any specific answers. It's simply asking a question of how can we do the most good with the resources available. And I disagree with that claim. I think that effective altruism does provide particular answers. And also, which I think is something that Helen doesn't discuss, but I think is also important, effective altruism has a framework for answering the question and a certain way of looking at things, which is also, I think, an important part of an ideology. And those particular components, so a certain set of answers, at least in broad terms that are accepted, and also a particular way of looking at things, a viewpoint that they come from, a set of methods for answering questions, both of those things are constitutive of an ideology. But if we don't want to use the term ideology, then we could just talk about those two claims, that EA makes specific claims and it has a very specific framework for looking at things. And those are that's what I'm putting forward as being important in EA, which I think Helen doesn't either... She says that's not the case, or just doesn't really talk about in her article.
So you mentioned examples from your post of features of an ideology is, yeah, that some questions are privileged over others, and that some ways of answering those questions are privileged. So in your view, yeah, what are the questions that EA is privileging, and what ways of answering those questions are we privileging over other potential ways of answering those questions?
Yeah, so... there's a number of points here that I raise in the article. I think that characterizing EA ideology is complex, partly because a lot of EAs don't think that they have an ideology, which I think makes things a little more difficult. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote this post. But so some of these specific claims that I make about EA ideology, I think are reasonably subject to disagreement, right? So one may agree that EA has an ideology, but disagree on specific points. So specific aspects that I characterize are just my opinions about how I see EA ideology. That being said, some of the things that I identify are in terms of, say, specific beliefs, I think one of the most obvious ones is a broadly consequentialist ethical framework. This has been discussed probably more than any other aspects of the ideological aspects of the EA movement. Now, I know that there not all EAs are consequentialists, and there are also EAs who don't think I don't think you need to be a consequentialist to be an EA, but that's somewhat a different claim, right? That you can be part of a movement while not agreeing with all of the ideological components of the movement. And I think that it is fair to say that ideologically, effective altruism is strongly aligned with consequentialist modes of thinking. And I think that we can see this in lots of examples of just how EAs talk about things and the way that they present problems. Many of the arguments for the overwhelming importance of the far future, for example, and existential risk are explicitly consequentialist or utilitarian in the way that they're framed. Again, I'm not saying that that's the only way you can frame the problem, but it's just the fact that they are framed that way. And that's what persuades many people to investigate those issues and shapes how they look at the problem. Another example would be the way that 80,000 hours approaches cause prioritization with a focus on tractability, neglectedness, and scale or scope, which at least some frameworks present as a multiplicative framework where all of those things multiply together to give you your impact. And that's a fairly explicitly consequentialist way of framing it. And again, I'm not saying that those are bad in any way. I generally agree with that. It's just that I think that is a very particular ethical take that is pretty widespread and prominent in the movement. And so I would identify that as one component of EA ideology. So consequentialism is just one aspect that I think is very important. Another component is naturalism, which is, I think, even more strongly underpins effectively basically all of effective altruism, but is almost never discussed. So most effective altruists are either atheists or agnostics. There is a small but important minority of theists in effective altruism. But once again, I think that one can characterize an ideology in broad terms without necessarily saying that every person who is part of that movement agrees with every part of the ideology. I don't agree with every part of the EA ideology, but I still call myself an EA. And I think that it's pretty clear that if you just look at what effective altruists talk about and the way that they approach things, such as the impacts of the far future and the impact of humanity on talking about humanity spreading across the galaxy and the millions of years in the future and things like that, there's really no sense here about anything beyond the natural world. There's no sense in which we need to worry about what is going to happen to humanity or our souls or whatever after we die. Or there's no sense that there is some sort of cosmic order that transcends the natural world that we want to ensure that we live in harmony with or anything like that. These sorts of questions just don't come up in effective altruism because we just assume that there are no such things, right? I mean, I'm an atheist and a naturalist. I don't believe that there are any such things, but I recognize that is a belief that I hold. And I think that EA should be cognizant of the fact that they are assuming that none of these sorts of things exist, which would have significant ethical implications if we did think that they existed. And there are lots of people who do think that there are things beyond the natural world. And so I think that's a very important part of EA ideology as well. So that's a second aspect of EA ideology. I think a third key aspect that I talk about is, maybe I'll focus on three here. The third one is a focus on what I call a kind of a technical focus or a technological focus. So a lot of EA reasoning and discussion focuses around the impacts of technology. And this extends even beyond artificial intelligence or X-risk biological hazards and things like that, although those are very prominent in the movement. But also just more generally, the focus on interventions in, say, for global poverty or animal welfare often focus on relatively technical solutions. And I contrast that with a focus on social change and institutional reform, which EA usually doesn't like to talk about very much and often expressly shies away from. And many people, especially if you look at many other sort of activists or sort of social movements, focus a lot on this sort of sociopolitical side of things, that they think that the future is shaped by the social forces and the sort of belief sets that people have and the ideology and so forth. Whereas EA doesn't really seem to think that very much. At least for the most part, EA seem to think that what happens in the future is going to be shaped by what technologies are developed and how they are deployed. And this is an aspect of EA ideology that I'm less in agreement with myself, although it's a lot harder to say. And this is a little bit vaguer than I think the other two that I talked about. So like consequential and naturalism. But I think that it is pretty clear if you look at a lot of EA discourse that it is very focused on technology, the use of technology for good, and the effects of technology on the future and on society. And it focuses much less on, I guess, the sort of social, political, and institutional side of things. So I think there are others, but those are three aspects that I think are pretty prominent in EA ideology.
With that last one, would part of your critique be that we focus on technology, like that as a kind of like aesthetic thing, we're just really just sci-fi nerds that like thinking about technology more than these other topics, or a different view where we have the kind of belief that technology determines how society turns out after the Industrial Revolution happened? The consequences from that were predetermined, the kind of view that much of history has followed technologies. Do you see that difference I'm making? And is one more what you're pointing out?
In terms of the focus on ideology, I'm talking predominantly about the beliefs that EAs have and the way that they approach things. One could then question, why do EAs have this particular set of beliefs or approaches? And I think that the aesthetic side of it definitely plays a role into that. I think that many early EAs many EAs, particularly early years, came from a computer science or technical background. And this is still very common in the movement. And that shapes how we think about things. And look at people like Eliezer Yudkowsky, for example, who's been quite influential in the movement. He uses sci-fi appeals and comparisons and reasoning very, very frequently in his writings. And you see this elsewhere as well. So I think that you can look at that sort of cultural or aesthetic aspect of why EAs approach things the way they do. But that's more of a sociological question, right? I'm just primarily focused on, well, at least in this article, what is it that effective altruists typically believe and is normative and common in the EA discourse, separately from why that is the case?
And then you said that there are different theoretical approaches that EA tends to use, maybe some academic fields that we are more respectful of or more keen to take evidence from and to research into, whereas others we might not be. So what are the ones that you think, either academic areas or ways of conducting research, that we're more reliant on, and which ones are we less reliant on, or like less reliant than we should be?
This is just speaking from my exposure to EA, and I'm sure that there are people applying different approaches that I'm not aware of. But nevertheless, from what's prominent in the movement, I think that there's effectively sort of two broad sets of approaches. And one, I think, is basically borrowed from philosophy and with some input from sort of economic theories of theorizing. And the other is basically borrowed from medicine. So essentially what I think that most discussion of sort of evidence in an EA context or reasoning either takes a sort of very abstract sort of agent-based approach of rational behavior and optimization, as well as very general consideration of the issue at a very abstract level. So there are so many EA posts which discuss an issue which you can look at that just take a very abstract approach. And I guess personally, this has affected the way I relate to EA, because I often find this frustrating myself coming from, I mean, I studied physics and economics, so I have some exposure to that sort of very abstract approach. But I also have a great interest in history and biology. And that's quite a different way of looking at things, which is often a lot more contextual and focusing on detail and specifics, which you just often don't talk about in a lot of those more abstract approaches. And I think you see this in EA reasoning. When 80,000 Hours talks about the scale or scope of cause, its neglectedness and its tractability, those are all very abstract considerations, which aren't, there's some work to define those somewhat more, but often there's not a lot of detail put into that, or a lot of, say, case studies that are considered. And of course, you can find these things, right? I'm not saying that there's zero amount of that, but I'm just illustrating that I think that that very abstracted, particularly also agent-based optimization approach and the philosophical kind of reasoning where you think about things in a very abstract way is extremely common in EA's approaching things. And one looks on the forum and you see a lot of this style of reasoning. Now, the other style of reasoning, or I guess form of evidence, would be randomized controlled trials. And that's mostly used in global health and development, a little bit in animal welfare as well. And that's a very powerful tool, but I think that it does get too much focus. And there are many other forms of, maybe what's interesting is that many EAs don't even, in my view, think about other approaches or other techniques that are used like in different academic disciplines.
To that point, when I was reading your article, when I was just up to that section of saying that, you know, we rely on either randomized controlled trials of interventions or abstract philosophical arguments, I was like, but wait, aren't those just the two sides of the like spectrum? Yeah, to be fair, I was very much caught in that ideology, I think.
Well, I should say, so EAs also use mathematical modeling and simulation, which I think fits in with the kind of rationalization and optimization kind of economics framework as well. But yeah, so some of the others that I identified, it's basically just one way to do this is to look at different academic disciplines and look at the techniques that they use. And of course, the fact that a technique is used by an academic discipline doesn't mean that it is either relevant to EA or necessarily a valid or appropriate technique given in it of itself. Although I would say that it at least gives one reason to think about it seriously. And so some of the things that I identify would be, so I mentioned one before, like in terms of history. So in history, and even many social sciences, looking at historical case studies is very common. You look at, or law, also this style of reasoning is used in. So you look at a past case study, you identify certain factors, why things went the certain way that they did. And then maybe you'll do a comparative case study where you compare different cases and look at things that were similar and things that were different. And you can try to draw out general lessons from that, but it doesn't approach things in nearly the same sort of very abstract way. Like, for example, if I was looking at the civil rights movement, and maybe 60s, 70s, like second wave feminism, I might want to compare those and look at how were they effective at achieving their goals? What techniques did they use? How did they change people's minds? How did they bring about reform and so forth? And I may apply abstract tools to analyze those, but primarily that's going to be focused. Primarily what I do will be focused on historical detail and consideration and evaluating specific events. And compare that to the framework that 80,000 Hours typically use, which is, you know, tractability, neglectedness, and scale. Again, I'm not saying they're mutually exclusive. I'm just saying that if you think about it that way, that's going to look very different from doing a comparative historical case study. And I'm saying that the one is much more common in EA than the other. So that's one example of a type of analysis. Another type of analysis that I mentioned is actually interesting because it's quite formal, but it's still not very common in EA, which is a statistical regression analysis. So this is different from randomized controlled trials because randomized controlled trials are experimental, whereas regression analysis is usually, theoretically, you can do it with experimental data, but usually you do it with observational data to try to control for different variables. And this sort of, I just don't see this research done very much in an EA context. EAs seem to either like to do mathematical modeling or very abstract reasoning or to use experimental results. But
Nothing in between.
Well, regression analysis is very widely used in economics and other social sciences. And I mean, in the natural sciences as well, for that matter. And there are a lot of things that you can't study experimentally, like global development and political reform and things like that. But potentially you can get observational data, which is going to be relevant there. And so that's another technique that I just don't see used very much. Let me mention a couple of others that are a little bit more maybe left of field. So one is like phenomenology and existentialism that I mentioned. And I think that some people in the comments just didn't get this at all, which is almost part of my point. So I'm not making the claim necessarily that I think that, just before I explain that, I'm not necessarily making the claim that this is going to revolutionize EA, but I'm just, the claim is simply that this is a kind of a popular technique or set of tools that EAs just don't even think about. And so that's just in support.
And again, as evidence for that, I don't think I could define phenomenology right now.
Well,
right? Like,
it's particularly difficult to define, but.
Yeah. But I agree that I at least do not think about that in my EA thought.
Yeah. And I'm no expert in phenomenology either. But the reason I mention them is that phenomenology and existentialism, though they're separate, there are some links between them. And both of them, I think, involve reflecting on aspects of experience and the way that connects us to the value and meaning of life. So particularly existentialism obviously raises questions about like why we are here and how to construct meaning in life. Phenomenology relates a bit more to like experience itself and like the contents of experience and what it's like to experience certain things. Now, at least on the face of it, those things strike me as being potentially relevant if we're asking the questions about like what matters most and how to bring about the most good. And certainly there are many philosophers who've made big claims about the importance of certain things in human life, you know, like Jean-Paul Sartre, for example, or Nietzsche, and that could be of relevance to effective altruism in thinking about what things matter and how to bring those about, or maybe constructing meaning in life and things like that. And these approaches could potentially have something to say about that. Again, I'm not making the claim that necessarily they do, but the fact that just no one even talks about them in EA is really what I wanted to raise here. That's another, it's really a philosophical approach that's just not really used in EA at all, which tends to borrow heavily from analytical philosophy. So two more that I wanted to mention, just again, because they're things that are even less sort of well-known. One is ethnography. So an ethnography is essentially like a detailed study of often another culture or like a subgroup or something like that. Theoretically, you can do an ethnography of anything, but the sort of classical example is like a Western anthropologist going and living with a tribe in sub-Saharan Africa or the Amazon or something like that for like a year or whatever, and then writing up about their experiences and what they, you know, what the people eat and their beliefs and their rituals and so forth. And it doesn't apply a particular theoretical, well, I mean, it does apply some theory to it, but it's more like it's more descriptive and it doesn't attempt to test any specific hypotheses or anything like that. It's really just about a very detailed, thick, descriptive exploration of a particular people. But you can do ethnographies for like professions as well. I think there's more of an interest in doing ethnographies of like white collar workers in anthropology these days, which I think is quite interesting. Now, how might that be relevant to EA? One of the things about ethnography is that it can give you a very rich information about what people do and how they live and what they believe. And this is of central relevance to EA, it seems to me, because we want to know about like the causes of poverty, why people choose to eat meat or not to eat meat, like cultural norms around governments and research institutions, how some groups are effective and others not, how to change culture. So potentially ethnography could be a very useful tool here, also particularly combined with other approaches. And it's just something that I never hear raised in an EA context. So again, I think that's another example of a framework that's just not thought about in EA. And one final one that I mentioned is a bit broader, but I think it's also relevant, is sort of social theory or sociological theories. There is a lot of work from sociology and I guess sort of anthropology as well, but particularly sociology that attempts to construct theories about poverty and about cultural change and belief formation, group dynamics, things like that. Some of these theories are formalized, but many of them are just descriptive theories. So they're not, it's not like an ethnography because it's not just a description of behavior. It's an abstract theory, but it's often, I mean, I guess sort of some EA frameworks almost fall into this category, but they're still quite different in the way that they theorize things. And in particular, EAs often heavily borrow from neoclassical economics and game theory in the way that they reason about human interactions, and very rarely from any sociological theories. People like Marx and Durkheim are some of the old guard from this, but there's many that have been discussed in the literature over the years. And I'm no expert of these. I've studied them a little bit in university, but I think, again, these theories do address things that EAs are very interested in. And so to summarize that, when someone like Helen says, EA is just a question, it's not any particular approach or answer to that question, and then I see all of these different approaches I just mentioned, sociological theory, ethnography, phenomenology and existentialism, historical case studies, and regression analyses, that you rarely, or in some cases, just don't see at all to approach this question. Whereas in the broader spectrum of like academia or intellectual space, you absolutely see lots of people approaching these different questions about meaning in life and social change and value and things like that. They approach these things in this way. It becomes harder for me to accept that EA really is just a question, because how come no one in EA is using these different approaches that other people have used? It seems that the reason for that is because, in fact, that it's more than just a question.
And then maybe final question before I go back to the top to give some thoughts is, yeah, so your post was written, as we said, in 2019. Has there been, in your view, any progress in the last 3 years on maybe this idea of using more types of evidence or questioning more assumptions than there was in 2019?
I think there's been a little bit. I don't claim to be an expert on the precise state of EA culture. Of course, probably there's posts on the forums and other things that I'm not familiar with. I did do a search for some of these things at the time that I wrote the post. So I suspect there's probably been certain things posted since then that might be relevant to some of these issues. But broadly speaking, I think there's been a little bit of a shift. So I have seen a little bit more work on some people trying to do historical case studies on certain things. I forget
that. That was an example, yeah, that I was thinking of, especially in Will's new book. He talks a lot about slavery and that historical, at least the historical case study of like the abolitionist movement. And yeah, but sorry, continue.
Yeah, so there's a little bit more of that. I haven't read Will's latest book, so that would be interesting. I should say that EAs often make, just parenthetically, will make reference to historical events, but that's not the same as a case study. A case study is more analysis, but just to clarify. But I still think that there has been more interest in looking at that. I still think it's a relatively small part of EA, but I think there's more maybe than it was 3 years ago. And the other thing is that there has been an increased interest in looking at heterodox or critical approaches to EA. I mean, one clear example of that is the recent, what do they call it, the red teaming challenge or competition or whatever it is that has recently been run. And I submitted an article to that as well as many other. I think there were dozens of submissions. So there's certainly an interest in looking at different perspectives within EA. Now, exactly how broad that's going to be in terms of a range of approaches or types of questions, I'm not sure. But so I think things have changed a little bit. I like to think that my article made a very small contribution to that, as well as others who've written, not exactly along the same lines, but making similar points in different ways to try to push the EA community to be a little bit more, well, both be a bit more diverse in its thinking and the composition, but also more cognizant of just where it stands and what it is. I think both of those things are things that I was aiming for. But yeah, so I think that there has been some changes, although I think that broadly, I would still say that the broad points that I'm making still apply.
Excellent. Yeah, so I guess to offer some of my thoughts or maybe pushbacks, or I guess like more opinionated questions. Yeah, so the first thing I want to get your thoughts on is my reading of Helen's post was, I guess, more like aspirational or prescriptive rather than descriptive. So my reading was more like EA should be a question. I guess, was that your reading or, yeah, did you view it more as a description? And do you think that, and actually maybe is that a point of difference? Because you were saying how like EA being an ideology isn't actually necessarily a bad thing, despite some, the term ideology might have a loaded connotation.
Yes.
Whereas, yeah, if her post was prescriptive, maybe maybe ironically, the disagreement is whether EA should be an ideology and you're like, it should be.
Yeah. So I think that Helen's post is both descriptive and prescriptive. She says in the introduction part that she doesn't think that effective altruism like makes core claims or is an ideology or an ism. But then in most of the body of the piece, she actually is making prescriptive claims. So she talks about, she says, we should try to avoid calling ourselves effective altruists. And then she says also that we should, yeah, she makes a lot of claims about how effective altruists should describe themselves and relate to other people. Like we should try to present ourselves as being very open to like other approaches or claims that like a different cause is better and things like that. So I think she's making both. She's both saying that effective altruism at its core isn't an ideology, and also that we should realize this and try to steer away from presenting it or thinking of it as an ideology and instead present it, frame it, and think of it as a question. And I would disagree with both the prescriptive and the descriptive components of that. Although I agree with some of the particular points that she makes, but I disagree with the overall way that she's framed it. And hopefully we can discuss that.
So what are some examples, I'm just skimming it now, of the descriptive claims she makes?
Well, at the very start, she says, well, not at the very start, but like at the third paragraph, effective altruism isn't like this, referring to other ideologies. Effective altruism is asking a question.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Deals to some introductions to EA as evidence for that. Effective altruism does seem to imply that those things are a good idea, but doesn't make the conclusions part a core part of the movement.
Yeah. So, yeah, this maybe ties into the kind of the next point I was going to bring up is that my reading of this was that she's talking about the concept of EA, the comparisons or like reference class that she talks about are There were four. So it's feminism, secularism, Islamism, and libertarianism. Another one I think I would add would be like environmentalism is, yeah, I think, a good reference class, especially just because it's a lot more like modern than some of these, which, you know, date back in some cases hundreds of years. Like, there does seem to be a sense in which EA is a lot more meta than most of these things you could compare it to, that like just the combination of us being interested in global health and poverty and animal issues and long-term concerns. Yeah, it does seem that we are more like wider, maybe a bigger tent than some of these other things you could compare it to. Would you agree with that?
Partially. So effective altruism subsumes certain other movements, or at least subsumes parts of them. So you could argue that effective altruism subsumes all of the worthwhile parts of environmentalism. That would be a bit of a hot take, but I think that you could potentially make that claim, right? In the sense that anything that an environmentalist wants to achieve that is effective and has evidence for it, an effective altruist could also heartily endorse as an effective altruist, and potentially other social movements as well. But I think that's definitely not going to be true of any ideology. Take many religious ideologies, for example. So those ideologies are, if anything, much more totalizing than effective altruism, because they concern really all aspects of life and existence and philosophy. Whereas EA, there are areas where EA doesn't have necessarily as much to say about certain areas. Although EA does have a lot to say about a lot of things, but I don't know that you'd say more inclusive than Christianity or Buddhism, for example, which bring with them a whole set of metaphysical beliefs that EA doesn't really say that much about, other than being broadly naturalist.
Yeah, no, so I 100% agree. I think Islam is maybe the odd one out in that description. I think I was, yeah, more thinking of, yeah, in the area of causes. So that hot take you mentioned about EA being all the best parts of environmentalism, again, in like aspirationally, like I kind of view EA as this like meta cause or area where, like, depending on the facts on the ground, we should take the best parts of every movement. If it's the case that part of or all of libertarianism is true, and that advocating for less government involvement and more individual freedoms is the best way of doing good, then we should all become libertarians, right? Whereas, yeah, it seems that the most other things you could compare EA too, that they have a, like, they've chosen like a domain where they're trying to do good. So again, with like environmentalism, in the name is that they're concerned about the environment. And obviously there are, like, that is somewhat broad in the sense that they could be concerned about climate change or other forms of pollution or biodiversity. There is a range. And there's also a range of like solutions to that. So whether solar or nuclear and those kind of things. But yeah, at least aspirationally, like I agree, in practice, we are much more focused on some cause areas than others. But aspirationally, it seems like the concept of effective altruism should be open to any of these.
So I think that what you're saying is that the standard EA view of itself and the standard
response
to what I'm saying, which is that, well, yeah, at least let's narrowing things down to within charities or cause areas or like social movements that are attempting to do some things that they view as good, then EA is meta across those and doesn't have a commitment to one of those. Now, there's a couple of responses that I would make. One is that very commitment to cause neutrality in and of itself is precisely what is unique about effective altruism, and that is constitutive of its ideology. So when an EA says something like, what we should seek to do is pursue whatever cause or causes are the most effective ways of achieving good, doing good, irrespective of what specific cause area that fits in, that is a claim, that is a normative claim, and that is a very distinctive claim from other movements. And that is precisely one of the things that I think is core to our ideology. And to say that that's somehow not a claim or not something that we hold to and is core to us doesn't make any sense to me.
No, so I 100%.
I'm not saying you're saying that, but I'm saying that I think that that's what I would say is confused in Helen's piece, in saying that we don't have a core claim, but then saying that is our core claim while not recognizing it as a claim.
Yeah, so I agree. I 100% agree that it is a core claim. I guess it does feel to me that it's a core claim that is in some ways more meta and on a higher level, and higher isn't better, I just mean like more abstract level than a lot of the other causes, like, you know, like secularism and environmentalism and feminism that you could point to. Like, I'm not quite saying that like our ideology is we have no ideology, dun dun dun. But like, you know, in a sense, like, I guess, can that be like taking like the rationalist movement as like another example? If their ideology is rationalism and they have certain perspectives on obviously what constitutes being rational.
Yes.
And I think many of the same criticisms you've made would apply in terms of academic fields that they respect and draw from more. But it does seem that like a group's goal to be rational is in a sense like more meta in a way that might make them at least hopefully like less susceptible to some of the kind of issues with ideology, right?
So that's a separate question, right? So I do think that the EA movement as a social movement is much better at self-criticism and introspection than pretty much any other social movement or ideology that I'm aware of. I don't think that EA is free from like groupthink or internal factionalism about things that maybe don't matter that much. But I think that we're not nearly as bad at that, at least from my perception, as many other social movements are. So that's a separate question as to whether EA is or has an ideology. Now, another thing that I would point out, which is something else that you mentioned, is that the meta-ness of EA's sort of core claim or core claims. Now, I think that there's certainly something to be said there. However, what I would caution is it's sort of a bit difficult to define meta-ness, right? But
yeah,
I think that the way EA tends to present, the way that EA describes other like social movements or cause areas is in EA terms. So the way EA might describe environmentalism is that environmentalists want to do the most good to help the environment, or an animal rights activist wants to do the most good to help animals or something like that. Whereas EAs want to do the most good across the board, irrespective of the cause. So that's the way we think of ourselves and describe ourselves. But that's our framing. And that doesn't make it wrong, but we have to then be cautious of how do these movements frame themselves. And it's going to depend on the person, right? Like not every environmentalist or animal rights activist or feminist is going to frame things in the same way. But one thing that I would suggest is that, and this links to something at the end of Helen's post, which is that maybe I'll just read a couple of sentences here. If you're honestly trying to figure out how to do the most good, that's that. It shows that effective altruism isn't all about donating to health interventions in Africa. It reminds us that we still don't really know how to be effective altruists, end quote. And that the key part of that I wanted to emphasize is that if you're honestly trying to figure out how to do the most good, that is that. Now, I would suggest that many, if not most other sort of social movements are not honestly trying to figure out how to do the most good. That's not even how they would frame what they're doing. They don't frame what they're doing as trying to do the most good for the environment. Some of them might, but that's a very specific consequentialist framing. And also, the way that EAs tend to describe good is in terms of welfare or well-being. I don't think that's universal, but it's pretty common. And it's definitely the case that many, say, environmentalists are not welfareists, because there are lots of environmentalists who think that ecosystems or natural environments have some kind of intrinsic value separate from any well-being that's experienced in them. So whether they would describe that as good then is maybe another issue. But the point I'm making is that it's not clear to me that the environmentalist necessarily thinks of themselves as doing the most good, like within an environmental context. I don't know exactly how they would describe that for themselves. That would be a question for them. But the point is, likewise, I think lots of feminists, I don't think plenty of feminists might frame it that way, but others wouldn't necessarily. Like if you ask Judith Butler about like, is she doing the most, is her goal to do like the most good to promote the well-being of women or something like that? I don't think that she thinks of it that way. And if it's, yeah, that was just an example that came to mind. Yeah, but the point is, I don't know that it's appropriate to assume that other of these causes or ideologies are attempting to do a EA style maximization of good, but just within one domain, and EA does it across domains. I suspect that many of their goals are different or not things are expressed in ways that are not necessarily compatible with the way that we talk about things in EA. And this, by the way, as just an addendum to that, this is why I think that there is often pushback to EA claims that we take as obvious, and then what we perceive as perpetual misunderstandings about what we're trying to do, because we just use different language for thinking about things.
Yeah, I definitely agree that like both they wouldn't necessarily use the same language as us, and that there are like different ethical theories that mean that language is like even less appropriate. Yeah, you mentioned with environmentalists caring about like non-welfarist concerns about the environment, and probably many feminist theorists, yeah, care about like non-welfarist justice-based, you know, things. And the hypothetical Judith Butler in my head, you know, might say, oh, well, you know, maybe curing cancer would improve the lives of women more because cancer kills women, or, you know, something like that. But working on curing cancer obviously doesn't count as feminism or women's liberation. It has to be something to do with the social roles and political advocacy. Okay, yeah. So another thing I wanted to ask was, do you see a difference between effective altruism being an ideology compared to effective altruists having several ideologies that are inherited from pre-EA ideas? So like, for example, I totally agree that like naturalism, or maybe as another example, something like thinking democracy is better than authoritarianism or monarchy or other forms of government is something that, yeah, I think like many EAs would agree with if you polled them. But I feel like that is a consequence of the time period and geographical location that EA emerged in, and the kind of like background ideological assumptions of current Western civilization. Again, like secularism and yeah, naturalism, I think would both fit in that. And I like, if someone was like, oh, can you be a feminist but not think women should have rights or something? I think you could say like, oh no, that's like contradictory. But I don't necessarily see anything like definitionally contradictory with an EA that thought that like authoritarianism was better than democracy and that we should, you know, be advocating for that, or an EA that was religious and thought that the best way of doing good was converting people to a particular religion. Like, I agree that those views are not treated as credible in EA conversations, but I don't think that they're like inherently excluded in a like definitional sense.
No, I don't think those things are, but I think that there might be things that are. So, well, let me see what your intuition about this. So do you think that you can be an effective altruist and believe that the value or the importance of different cause areas are incommensurate with each other, like drastically, so that it doesn't really make sense to say which is the most important cause area or which is the best thing to do across the
I would definitely say either no or yes, but then given that you would be like, EA would like not be interesting to you.
So yeah,
in the sense that, So in the sense, you could imagine a world where women didn't exist. And in a sense, you could still be like feminist in that world, but wouldn't really be a thing, right? So yeah, so in that sense that like, you could come to the conclusion that different cause areas are incommensurable, and then I still agree that, well, if they were comparable, then the EA would make sense, but they're not. So I think that's probably splitting hairs. But yeah, so I do agree that it is probably a core, definitionally core claim.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think that a lot of people do think that to some degree. Now, I think that you can still potentially find value in effective altruism insofar as effective altruism might still be useful to you to, for example, if you're particularly concerned about reducing meat consumption, then if EA may have useful things to say about that. But at that point, what EA would be doing there is not very distinctive to EA. It's just working in a reducing factory farming suffering or reducing meat consumption or something like that, which is something that one could do. That's essentially a means-end analysis that one can pursue a very broad range of ideologies. So that's not necessarily a problem. EAs might just be particularly good at doing that sort of means-end analysis, which is all to the better. And I'm not saying we should exclude people who disagree with these sorts of things from the movement. But I would say that someone who was in the position of thinking that there was wide-scale incommensurability of different cause areas and values just would find most or much, or if not most, of EA discourse to be like distasteful and annoying or just wrong and confused, and probably wouldn't find that much value in the movement. And so if they want us to contribute in some smaller way, then I'd be very happy. But I'm just saying that it seems to me that many such people wouldn't find themselves very suited to be in the movement. And I think that just empirically, actually, the majority of people are like that. Most people who find out about EA do not become enthusiastic members of the movement, right? Even people who are broadly like socially minded, because many of them have philosophical disagreements with how we approach things. And so because EA it's quite a broad movement, and I think it's quite flexible in terms of who can be part of it. I would say that there are other movements like that as well. I think socialism is one of them. Liberalism is probably another one as well, that you can, they're quite broad in terms of whom they can accommodate. And it's quite hard to find examples of things that are absolutely against the core of what it stands for. And I think that's similar with EA. But nevertheless, there are going to be a lot of people who find themselves in sufficient disagreement with various things that are fairly core, if not absolutely core, or just very common in the movement, that they're going to be put off. But one thing that I would say is probably as at the core as you can be is the idea of cause neutrality. And if one fundamentally disagrees with that, then I think that is about as close as you can get to putting you outside EA.
Yeah, and that's what I would think of as the more like definitionally ideological claims. Whereas, yeah, like believing in God is something that like you can still be an EA if you believe in God.
Yeah.
And also not just believe in God, but think that that's like action guiding, and that like the fact that God exists influences what you think the best actions are to do. But yeah, but that the cause neutrality is, yeah, a more like definitional thing.
It's true, but I don't think the fact that something's not definitional, it makes it less important. So for example, suppose that someone were to come along in the EA forum and recommend that we should focus on distributing Bibles and sending missionaries out to sub-Saharan Africa because saving souls for Jesus is the most important thing that we can do, given the importance of eternal conscious torment versus a of paradise in heaven. I don't think that person is going to get much traction or find themselves very welcome in the EA community. They may get some nasty comments, actually, if they posted something like that. So although someone may not, that actual approach may not be definitionally excluded from the EA movement, practically speaking, it is excluded from the EA movement because we just don't take, it's not that we have a lot of good arguments within the EA movement against that. I think there are good arguments against that, but we just don't talk about it. It's just not taken seriously. And those things are important as well, even if definitionally they're not excluded. And that's what I think is kind of wrong about Helen's post, because it's not just a question. There are serious people who answer our question with that answer or something similar to what I just said, but we wouldn't take that even slightly seriously. So why is that? I think it's because of our commitments that we have.
Yeah, I guess I see a difference, or I somewhat see a difference. You know, I don't have a strong view on this, but that there's a difference between the fact that most EAs are secular / agnostic / atheist or broadly in that camp, meaning that the a prior or like the credence we give to certain claims about how to do good. Another example would be like if 9/11 was an inside job or something, or like the world was such that there were like put at whatever conspiracy theory you would have. I definitely think that could like massively affect what cause areas are good, like that, you know, if the conspiracy theory was large enough. But because the population of EAs, our prior on conspiracy theories happens based on the groups we've been drawn from to be low, means, yeah, that we wouldn't take that as credible. I do think you would probably get a better response in the EA community than some of the other reference classes. So I think in that theoretical post on the EA forum would be treated better than a post on a feminist forum about like, you know, have we considered the idea that women like aren't people or something like that? Or like an environmentalist thing where it's like, actually, have we considered that God created the environment for humans to do what they will? So like, you know, something.
Yes, well, I think EAs are more intellectually open and just polite than a lot of communities. And so you probably would see less of a toxic response. But I still, I see that you're saying that there is a difference between an in principle definitional conflict and sort of an in practice point. But from my point of view, establishing whether EA is an ideology is both about the very bare bones abstract consideration of what EA is definitionally, but also how it works out in practice. Because often it's very hard to establish what the bare bones sort of minimal definition of something is just from looking at a sentence, right? How can you know what effective altruism is just by looking at effective altruism is a question that, or a social movement that attempts to do the most good. What that actually means in practice really is going to be shaped a lot by what it actually means in practice. And so that's why I think that the way that we actually live out effective altruism is important in terms of whether it is an ideology.
Yeah, totally. And I'm cautious or worried that I might already be like having the Mott and Bailey of the community of EAs versus concept. So if you say, hey, EAs aren't doing X, I retreat back to, well, in theory, doing X would be EA. So I'm aware of the risk of doing that. The thing you mentioned about us using that as like a defense of not engaging with ideas that I think, you mentioned towards the end of your post. So so I'm definitely open to the possibility that is what I am doing.
Whether that's you personally is not my main interest here, but I think that is something to be concerned about for EA as a whole, because that is a very common claim that if we thought that was the most effective thing, we would do that and we would just be as much EAs. But I guess one of the questions that I would address is, how do we know that's not the most important thing? Do we know that that's not the most important thing because we have seriously considered it using a wide range of perspectives and have good, broadly considered reasons for rejecting it? Now, the answer to almost all of these is no. Even things that most of them I wouldn't say that we should. I'm not saying we should send those Bibles off to sub-Saharan Africa, right? But it's not like that we have good reasons for not doing that that's been seriously considered in the EA movement, or even more credible things in a Christian or other religious context. We just don't think about those things at all. And we don't apply, there are certain frameworks that we don't, such that we're just not going to find answers to those sorts of questions if you don't ask them and don't use applicable frameworks. And so this is really the heart of the criticism, I think, in terms of the bad part of EA being an ideology. I've said that I think it's fine that EA is an ideology, but I think that when you don't recognize that you have an ideology and then you claim to be open to in principle like anything that's consistent with doing the most good, but then in fact there's actually a narrow range of approaches and considerations that you investigate, in practice you're blind to the fact that you're not actually in the business of trying to do the most good. You're actually in the business of trying to do the most good in this particular way, looked at in this particular framework. And that's sort of where the critique part of the post comes in, because I think that is a big problem with the EA movement at the moment, that we are blinded by both the ways that we approach things and our reluctance to realize that we do have a particular way of approaching things, even if in principle we could be doing things differently within our ideology, but using that as a defense for then, but still not actually doing those things. It's a blinder that we have that prevents us from seeing the fact that we do have limitations and a particular framework. So that's what I think it's a great thing about the EA movement, that it is so open, but it can be a frustrating thing as well when that's used as a defense to sort of not realize that we actually do have a particular way of approaching things.
Another kind of point I wanted to make is that I guess the difference between having a norm that is like enforced and that like violators of the norm are socially punished in some way versus something just being the average thing or like something being uncommon. But if it were to happen, people would be like fine or encouraging of it. So what I mean by that is with the theoretical approaches that you mentioned that EA doesn't do, I definitely agree that these are much less featured than either RCTs or abstract philosophical reasoning or the agent-based models you were talking about. I do think we're making good progress on historical case studies. So yeah, so there was the Will McCaskill recent book, which I totally recommend, by the way. It's very good. And then some also, I think, in the animal section of the EA movement, there are some examples of, yeah, like historical case studies about like protest movements and trying to like learn the lessons from them and apply them to like animal rights advocacy. But I guess my reaction, and I hope other EA's reactions when hearing these, would be like, if someone wants to use sociological theory or ethnography or phenomenology, then I would be super excited to, you know, read about that. In EA, we're very overrepresented in certain academic disciplines like philosophy, economics, computer science. And when I have been in the role of a community organizer at like the local university groups, one of my goals has definitely been to like try to expand to like other academic areas. So like international relations and like law and sociological theories. So the vibe I get, which I obviously, you know, very possible I'm being biased and also could just be like, this is how I feel and I'm applying that to like the faceless EA movement, is that, yeah, that like all of these ways of research, I would be like very open to people applying them. There would be some in here that like I wouldn't be. So, you know, if someone was like, hey, I've figured out how we can use astrology to, you know, select, you know, I'd be like, that would go back to the Bible example. But like, you know, if someone wanted to do an ethnography of AI researchers and, you know, like what makes them more likely to think safety is a thing or something, can use that, or you know, an ethnography of like an ethnography of the EA movement, I would so fund. And again, yeah, like the sociological theories, you know, yeah, if someone was like wrote a post on how to help global poverty from like a Marxist lens, that would be really cool. The regression analysis is interesting because I feel like, so one is, I do think we do that like sometimes, right? The one that jumps out at me is that there was a post arguing for like policies to increase GDP growth instead of like individual health interventions. And that used a lot of examples of like country scale. Even though GDP isn't everything we care about, it correlates surprisingly well with many things we care about. But there are like well-known issues with just purely using regression analysis rather than experimentation. But yeah, to summarize my rant, I guess I feel at least that I would be super excited about people in other academic disciplines or other areas of knowledge coming in and applying their ideas to EA.
Well, so one thing is that the attitude that EAs have towards application of, let's say, heterodox approaches or methodologies seems to be varied. So there are quite a few people like you, I think, who say that would be interesting. I'd be excited to hear about that. And if you look at the comments on my original article, there are at least a couple of people who are saying like, well, I don't like, what's phenomenology and existentialism got to do with anything? Like, I don't get the point of that, or fairly dismissive comments. And I think that's an attitude that's held in the EA community as well. But without any sort of surveys, it's hard to say. But fundamentally, the fact that in principle people might be open to it is much less important than the actual set of norms and incentives that we set up in the community. So the fact is that this sort of work, maybe it's changing a little bit, although for many of these things, like an ethnography actually is a really good example. An ethnography of AI researchers could be extremely informative about research practices and their beliefs about risk, and much more than the very few fairly low quality surveys that we do have, which are actually appeal to quite a lot, I see, about timelines at least. But anyways, so why hasn't one of the big EA orgs funded this already? Why don't we commission this sort of work? I would argue that it's because it's not the sort of thing that many of the people in these positions think about, and it's not something they prioritize. So the fact that in some sort of abstract, when I present it or when someone else presents this to them, they might say, yeah, no, that could be interesting, is much less relevant, in my opinion, than the actual set of norms and incentives on the ground, which is just to not do this work. A related point that I would mention is this word here. I don't know what your view is about this particular phrase or word that's used, but I have a lot of issue with, which is how aligned someone is to EA, or their EA alignment. This is something that is talked about a lot, particularly in the context of hiring decisions. We want to make sure that we hire aligned people to serve in EA roles and EA researchers and grant makers and things like this. And to me, it's really unclear what this is supposed to mean. I think that it is a weasel word, which is used to make it sound like something that's, well, you know, we want someone who agrees with EA values and thinks about things rationally and so forth. Yeah, sure, we want that. But if it means that they have fairly encultured into the standard way of thinking about things in an EA context, that's basically going to mean that they're not going to value these sorts of, typically at least, they're not going to value these sorts of different heterodox methodological approaches. So I think that there is a sense in which, like in a very concrete sense, one's career progression and social status in EA is connected to how valuable is the work that you do and have done. And if people don't value this sort of work, it won't get done, or will only get done in a small way and by a small forum post or whatever. I think that the recent red teaming competition is a good step in the direction towards a wider variety of approaches. But nevertheless, I think that even if in principle there is some degree of commitment to more methodological diversity, if that actually doesn't have much of an effect on what we value as a movement and what sort of things that are funded and focused on, then I don't know that counts for that much. At least that's my perspective.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. Like if I was OpenPhil or, a large funder, doing hiring, like, I guess the reason I haven't tried to do an ethnography or something like that is because, like, I feel I don't have the, specific skills.
That's a
separate question. I definitely think it would be worth OpenPhil hiring someone who's an established ethnographer for like 6 months to go do some, one of several ethnography ideas. Responding to that aligned with EA thing. Yeah, so I have also heard that phrase. Yeah, I think like many things, there's like a good way and a bad way it could be used. Yeah. So I can think of a perfectly legitimate and a very... So the bad way is, us using it as a, do they agree with what EAs currently agree about? And or are they like socially, like, you know, good person to have at parties or whatever? Yeah. So that would be that, to the extent it's used like that, it's like very bad. I guess like the way, the good version of it, I would say, would be things like, for example, when I think of someone who's aligned with EA, I think of things like being mission focused rather than like individual statusy focused. So for example, like when I apply for an EA job, like I'm not perfect. So I have some like system one, you know, intuitive, oh, I hope I get it. But like, I genuinely want the best person to get the job. If a different person is selected over me, I'm fine with that because I just want the best person to work at the org, because I want the org to be effective, because I want them to be better at doing good. And if a organization I work with doesn't receive funding, then again, ideally, I want my emotional reaction to that to be, oh, great, like, fine. Like, you know, because like whatever else got funding instead of me, if some EA funder chose to fund a different project instead of me, then that in expectation, at least according to them, was like better. And like, yeah, like, you know, whatever does the most good. So it's that kind of mission driven or like mission focused, whereas mission is used largely as just like doing the most good, is the kind of things that like I would use that for. But I definitely agree that it can be misused consciously or subconsciously in ways that like are like, do you already agree, or are you already, you know, do you already like fit the model of an EA, or did you study computer science at, you know, Harvard or whatever? Yeah,
I think it's very unclear what it does refer to, and that's one of the problems. I think that it's better just to be more specific about what we're talking about. I think that there is also a tension there about how you can be aligned with a question. If EA is a question, then does it make sense to be aligned with a question? I think that you can be aligned with a mission, but then that raises the tension with whether EA is a question or a mission. And I think that in Helen's post, she's essentially saying that EA does have a core commitment and a mission, and that is to do the most good using the resources we have available. And in that sense, yeah, you can be more or less aligned with that. But what I would suggest is that the way that we actually, and again, I think that this is being a bit cynical, it's my prerogative, which is that there's a level of self-deception there. If we think that we can judge, even if we know other people relatively well, about how committed they are to doing the most good, I don't think that's what we do judge when we typically judge like alignment or other things like that. We judge much more practical things about, well, do they talk about things in a way that sort of sounds smart and fits with the way that I think about things? And that's natural, though, the sort of what we have in our ability as humans to judge others. But then that means that if we think about things in a particular way, we're likely to think that other people who think about them in a similar way are similar, like aligned with the sort of correct way to think about things. And if we don't put in place, and I think this is the key point, if we don't put in place very specific and particular mechanisms and institutions to combat that, then I think that what we're going to end up with is a lot of groupthink and a lot of homogeneity in approaches, even while claiming that we're actually open to a diversity of approaches. And I think that's one of the problems in thinking that EA isn't an ideology that doesn't have these particular approaches within it or biases.
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely agree that it's like that thing I was mentioning about like the good version of alignment. It's definitely possible to have just read more EA stuff and be able to kind of like mimic that. Someone could be like, oh, like they could basically just say what I said, and because they know that's what EAs want to hear, and then get hired over someone who might be more committed to doing good, but like just hasn't read as many blog posts or whatever, so doesn't know.
Maybe they just think about things in a different way.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
exactly.
They're from a different background. They studied a different discipline, like they studied sociology. I've spoken to people in these sort of from these less well-represented disciplines, and that they often will say things like that. It takes a bit of getting used to all of the sort of computer science and philosophy sort of jargon and just way of thinking about things and agent based maximization stuff. And it's just not necessarily what everyone is familiar with or comfortable with. And those who are from a different framework or have different perspectives will be, I think, tend to be called less aligned. Not as a rule, but I think that there's that tendency. And that's one of the reasons I have a problem with that conception. And it does stand in tension, I think, to thinking of EA as a question to talk about alignment in this way.
Yeah, definitely. And so with that point, just on like whether EA is a question, yeah, I guess I agree that just like my reading of it being aspirational, this could be me giving it a more charitable reading. But I definitely, so I think like EA is it's the question of like how can we do the most good? But it's definitely also the second part, which is like, and then doing that, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I think that is like a very core, like we're not just like trying to like academically work out the best way of doing good and then just writing a book. You know, like if EA was like just the EA forum and people debating, but no one actually doing it, that would be terrible, right? So I guess that like when my reading was that when Helen is talking about the EA as a question, she was referring just to the first half, which is trying to figure out how to do the most good and then implementing your best guess at what that thing is. It's like the second half. Awesome. Okay, so we've been going for a while, just maybe one or two more things.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, but also thank you very much. This has been a really good discussion. And yeah, and when you were like mentioned you were cynical, I agree that's a very good thing. I think you're a very you know, good contrarian. Yeah, so it's always good talking to you. So yeah, the thing about EA is being like very technology focused. It's just something I want to like push back on slightly. So yeah, so I definitely agree that in long-termism, obviously either AIs or pandemic technologies that allow human actors to create pandemics that are much worse than what you can naturally get are both technologies, or like, you know, futuristic sci-fi vibey technologies. And also like in the animal area, clean meat is, yeah, definitely a technology, and that like definitely gets like a lot of attention from animal EAs. So yeah, so my counterexamples or my like replies to this idea though that we're like too obsessed with technology is, so firstly, I think in global health, I guess like, you know, you could say that malaria bed nets are like a technology, or that, you know, the fact that like GiveDirectly, you know, uses mobile phones to transfer is like a technology. But I think like in global health and poverty, we don't necessarily, I think, seem to be focused on like sci-fi solutions. And in the long-termism existential risk area, I think, so like I'd say maybe the third, one of the top three after AI and pandemics would be nuclear war. And again, like you could view that as a technology, but nuclear weapons are like 80 years old at this point. So I think, I think like if EA had been around in the 1940s and 50s, it would be like a very big deal. And, you know, like maybe that's because we have a like technology bias, but I think caring about nuclear war now doesn't strike me as like particularly sci-fi. And then the other part was I was trying to think of new sci-fi emerging technologies that EA don't really think about. And so some of the ones I thought of. So one is like fusion energy, which, you know, I think like Sam Altman, who's like maybe EA adjacent, has might be working on or investing in. But yeah, that's not something I've seen discussed much. Virtual reality, you know, and the whole like the metaverse and like whether in 20 years we'll be having this done in virtual reality, stuff like that is a sci-fi thing that EA hasn't talked much about. Ironically, my third one was crypto, which obviously EAs know a lot more about crypto than the average person, I would guess. And like Sam Bankman-Fried, the EA billionaire, is got his money through a crypto trading platform. But in terms of, I think when you look at a lot of people in crypto, they're very much, oh, crypto is going to change the world and, you know, do all these things. Whereas I am aware of very little EAs who are focused on crypto in the sense of trying to make it like, you know, this is a technology that's going to influence the world and we should be like accelerating or decelerating this or something like that. And my final one also ironically was nanotech, which Will McCaskill in his interviews has talked about that like early on in the Less Wrong days, nanotech was, you know, featured a lot more in like conversations and like the kind of transhumanist Less Wrong areas. But now, yeah, like definitely seems to be like a lot less represented than AI. And I would argue that's due to the fact that in the last 15 years, AI has made much larger strides than nanotech, and that it's probably likely that AGI will arrive before nanotechnology. So yeah, what do you think of those examples?
Okay, so I think one of the fundamental issues here is that we shouldn't confuse what I talk about as a focus on technology with emerging technologies or science fiction technologies.
Okay.
I think that a focus on that is part of EA as well, which maybe I'll speak about in a moment. But that's not fundamentally what I'm talking about when I say that EA has a technological focus. The notion of technology is, of course, quite vague. When I talk about technology in this context, what I mean is physical technologies. But I don't necessarily mean just like any sort of emerging technology or sci-fi type technology or just AI, though that is an important one. What I'm rather saying is that EAs tend to, not universally, but I think that there is a tendency to focus on problems as being resolved by technical means, by application of particular physical technologies in a rationalistic way. Now, one might wonder, well, how else do you solve a problem? And if that is what you're wondering, then that's precisely the problem, right?
Exactly.
Because there are many ways to resolve problems. And I think that one of the most common ways that is discussed in many social movements is effectively through reshaping and reforming human social institutions and social practices. So that takes various levels. That could involve governmental reform or intergovernmental reform. That could involve reform of our economy, reshaping the economic institutions, or that could even extend to changing social habits, social customs, and things like that. None of those things are, in a very abstract sense, you can call those technologies, but that's not what I mean here. They're not physical embodied, like mechanical technologies. And so, for example, it's actually very common to hear many progressive movements to say that what we need is a fundamental reshaping of global capitalism, that is at the root of many of our problems. In fact, many environmentalists also say similar things. And a different example would be at least some feminists say that we don't just need like more rights or better opportunities for women. We actually need a fundamental reshaping of the way that we conceive of and practice gender in society. That would be another example, right? Religious ideologies also make similar claims, but depending on their particular beliefs. So these are examples of ideologies and approaches to change, which are not really technical or technological in the sense that I mean. And EA doesn't have too much to say about these things. Not exclusively. There is some discussion about policy reform. There's been a bit of work on prison reform, although I think that they shut that down recently. But there's some discussion about improving political relations between great powers. So I don't say that there's zero amount of this, but compared to the focus on many problems.
So are you, like, would you count a lot of the GiveWell recommended charities like AMF as
Well, that's what I was about to explain.
Yeah, excellent.
In terms of how I think that this is still the dominant way of thinking about things. So if we think about many of the global health interventions, say providing anti-malarial bed nets or direct cash grants it's not technology per se, but it is use of technology through mobile phones and existing banking institutions. It's not a social or political reform. So in that sense, I think it's in the same category. All of these things involve using a particular technology, not necessarily high tech, but a technical solution to help people improve their well-being. And I'm not saying that's bad by any means. Don't get me wrong there. And I support GiveDirectly. But all I'm saying is that's a very particular way of trying to approach the issue of global poverty. And there are many other approaches where that's not placed first and foremost, or where there's a much greater focus on trying to change institutions or change social customs and change beliefs and other things like that. So even there, I think that it is a technical approach that EAs tend to have, or at least that those are the ones that we tend to focus on. In terms of animal well-being, an example of something that's not a technical focus is just campaigning for veganism and vegetarianism. That in itself, I don't think has a very large place in the EA community, although it's a cultural thing, but I don't think that we focus a lot of attention on just trying to like be more effective at convincing people to be vegans. I think there has been some discussion of this, but a lot more focus has to be made on ways of, there is some policy reform there because there's some push for things like banning caged eggs and things like that. Although I don't know how much of that is from within EA and how much is EA adjacent. That's a little hard to define, but there's certainly a lot of discussion in the EA community on technical solutions. So like development of plant-based alternative or synthetic, what are they calling it? In vitro meat or clean meat or whatever they're calling it these days. So that would be another example. And again, I'm not saying that's wrong or anything. I'm just illustrating that. And then of course, in terms of the far future, I think that's where this is most clear because overwhelmingly the discussion here is about AI that dominates the area. Now, let me then also mention some of the things that you mentioned at the end about there are certain emerging technologies that EAs don't talk about so much. And you mentioned a number of them like nanotechnology and things. And I actually think that it's true that EA it doesn't focus a lot on every emerging technology. I think that there's actually another form of bias. One that I'm particularly interested in as a neuroscientist is that there's very little discussion. There are a few things, but overall, there's very little discussion about whole brain emulation and its ethical and social implications, which I think are massive in the EA space. And I think that personally, now this is just a personal view, that I think that we will have whole brain emulation before we have a synthetic form of artificial intelligence. Now, I could be wrong about that, but I do think that it should be taken seriously, and it just isn't discussed that much. But there are other areas as well, like fusion power and even nanotech, maybe, that aren't discussed so much. Now, I think that, so I'm not claiming that EA latches onto every sort of emerging technology. As I've said, that the emerging aspect is not critical here. I think it's a technical focus. But I think also, if I can comment on the focus on AI. So you mentioned that AI has made a lot of progress, particularly in the last, say, 10 to 15 years with deep learning and statistical methods, as well as reinforcement learning. And
just relative to, say, 2008, back when Eliezer was writing the sequences and the Less Wrong community was drawn heavily from like transhumanists. At that time, there was like, you could say like, oh, I don't know which one will come first. But yeah, it seemed like at least, yeah, since then. But sorry, yeah, continue.
Yes, I agree with what you're saying. I think that's true. I would say that I don't know that this is a good reason for the AI community to focus on AI, the fact that it's made a lot of progress in the last 10 to 15 years. That's obviously a much longer discussion, which we don't need to get into here. But I think there are reasons to think that a lot of the focus on AI, particularly, and this is another thing that I've written about, the way that we think about AI and what form that we think it's going to take, which is, I think a lot of the work that we're doing is like the technical work is focused on AI as a reinforcement agent. And I actually don't think that there's very good reason to think that AI will, when it like AGI, like human level AI, when it comes around, will necessarily look like that. But I think that that's just taken for granted in the community, in part because of the recent success of these types of agents. And that's people who study machine learning, that's a lot of what they study. And that's what sort of was discussed. I guess the point I'm making is that the way that EA looks at problems more generally appears to be dominated by, not exclusively, but to a large extent by technical solutions. And in particular, it also seems to be dominated by, or at least, yeah, dominated maybe is slightly too strong, but highly prevalent in that is technical solutions that appear promising given like recent trends, like reinforcement learning, statistically based AIs. And that may make sense for certain applications. I don't know that it does make sense for thinking about the very far future, because I don't know that recent technological trends are necessarily predictive of what we think is going to be dominating in terms of technology 100 or even 50 years or 1,000 years in the future. And I don't know that EAs are actually have very good resources or abilities to sort of think carefully across a range of like different both technologies, but then also other things as well, like social institutions and so forth. And then think about like, well, which of these, like, how do we focus on some and not others, or what do we think is more plausible? I think that there is cultural inertia aspect to what gets focused. And I think that's manifested in a technical focus writ large, but also it's manifested in the specific focus on AI and like particularly reinforcement agent type AI. So at least that's how I see it.
That really clarifies my reading of your, I think I was pattern matching your that technology point you make to maybe other criticisms of EA of us being, too like sci-fi based. I don't want to go too deep into AI because, as we mentioned earlier, you've written about that. So we'll
maybe have a conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. I do just want to follow up though, because I was surprised. So you mentioned that you think we'll we might get brain emulation before AGI. I guess my thinking was just, again, going back to 2008-09, there was, yeah, a lot more discussion, I think, about brain emulation. There was a debate between Eliezer and Robin Hanson, who, yeah, Eliezer was like, AI will come first. Robin Hanson was like, yeah, there'll be the full brain emulations. So you definitely have more knowledge in this area. But my reading or belief was that since, you know, again, in the last 15 years, AI has made, you know, very large strides, whereas brain emulation has not.
And I don't disagree with that. This will be a longer discussion, but I just don't think that the progress over the last 15 years is, that's not what dominates my estimates of when I think that these things will arrive. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So yeah,
I'm not just extrapolating the curves of the last 15 years. There are other reasons why I think that we'll get whole brain emulation first. And of course, I could be wrong about that. I'm not very confident, but I just think that relative to the amount of attention that it gets in EA, I don't think that relative to the amount of impact that it will have if it happens, I think that that's actually quite unfortunate and is, I would call it an oversight. Like, neuroscience doesn't have a very big role in EA. It's not talked about very much. And I just think this is puzzling when it's at the center, the brain is at the center of so many things we're interested in, AI and human well-being and decision-making and other stuff. But anyway, that's again, somewhat of another area, but.
Yeah, no, that's super interesting. I would, as a curve extrapolator, I would be, interested in, reading more about that. But awesome. Okay, so yeah, I think, because we want to keep AI to a second part later down the line, I think we may call it there. Yeah, do you have, maybe any like closing thoughts or like summaries or anything like that about this conversation?
Yeah, so it might be helpful to just draw together a few threads that we've talked about. So we've talked about the piece that I wrote and in response to the piece that Helen wrote about effective altruism being a question, not an ideology. And I've argued in that piece and today in this discussion that I think effective altruism is an ideology. And I talked about some of the components of that ideology. So I talked about, like, mentioned the technical focus. We talked about consequentialism and we also talked about naturalism, not as much, but we did sort of mention that and how that fits in with EA and the cause neutrality and other things that are central to us. So when I say that effective altruism is an ideology, I'm thinking about some of these core commitments. Now, some of them I think are commitments that we should have and we should be proud of, and we should wear them on our sleeve, so to speak, and say, yes, we do take a naturalist approach. And although that doesn't exclude non-naturalists from being part of us, but that's the approach we take in EA. We're not going to devote time to talking about whether there's an afterlife, for example. I think that's appropriately outside of EA. And likewise, we're going to focus on, like, doing the most good. I think it may even make sense to focus on that, a welfareist approach to that, to be more explicit about that. But we could argue about exactly what we make public and what we just sort of a community norm. But I think that we should first of all realize that we have these commitments, first and foremost. And second of all, we should then decide, which of them do we think are good and which do we think are bad for the movement? I've mentioned some that I think are good, and I've also talked about some that I think are not so good. So the methodological focus on either randomized controlled trials or like rational agent simulations or modeling, as well as some sort of very abstract philosophical theorizing, those are very good. And I like those approaches, but I think that they can be enriched by other approaches as well. And I don't think that aspect of our ideology, if you want to call it that, at least as manifested in practice, I don't think that's good. And I think that we should broaden our horizons beyond that. And that then link, and there are other issues, of course, that we talked about as well. So being cognizant of the fact that EA is, in my view, an ideology allows us to then think more critically and I think clearly about which aspects do we like about that ideology and which do we think should change or we should broaden. And the other thing then related to that is that if we are kind of open about the fact that there is kind of an ideology, at least in practice, theoretically as a matter of definition, then I think also that helps us to get clear about things, because I think too often, as we discussed, EAs retreat to the claim that, well, in principle, you could be an EA and do that sort of work, but in practice, no one does. And it would be generally not considered very highly and have low status and so forth. That's very important as well. And so I'm not even as interested in definitionally what counts as EA. That's part of it, but also in practice, what it looks like within the EA community and what we reward and what we don't reward. And that's, we talked about the notion of alignment and how that kind of manifests in practice. And so I think that's something we should be much more cognizant of as well, not retreating to this, you know, to the mod, so to speak, about theoretically we could embrace these things as being EAs. But if in practice we don't, then that's still, I think, relevant to assessing the status of EA. But yeah, I mean, to encompass all of that, I am an EA and I think EA is great and I embrace it as an ideology, as well as being critical of certain components of it. And I think I would encourage others to as well. And I think that as EAs, what we should do is try to present what I regard as our ideology in as attractive a way as possible and offer it as something that is valuable to other people. But just being cognizant of, you know, its limitations, things we think could be better about it and what it is and what distinguishes us from other people, which also helps us to understand why some people disagree with us and then potentially give us a better opportunity and ability to think of ways where we can pitch it in a way that's more attractive or highlight the aspects that are going to be relevant to people who disagree. If we don't realize that we do come from a very particular standpoint, then it's harder for us to understand why people don't agree with us, because we're just a question, right? How you could disagree with this question? So I think that's also very important in terms of sharing it and offering it up as something valuable to other people.
Yeah, no, definitely the vibe you sometimes get of like, yeah, how can you disagree with EA? Like, don't you want to do good?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And I think that is something I think can be a problem and I try like not to do, but probably fail at, is like the Mott and Bailey of retreating to the EA in theory under some criticisms, but yeah, as a defense of, you know, the movement and stuff. So thank you so much, James, for taking the time. Yeah, I think this was a really good conversation. Yeah, I will, I definitely want to talk to you about AI in the future, and you have a lot of forum posts by that. I also totally want to talk to you after you read Will McCaskill's book, because yeah, I'm interested in some of the, your reactions to that. And yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks, Nick. It's been a pleasure.